A reading from the Gospel of Matthew. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem and all of Judea and all the region around the Jordan were going out to him, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Therefore, bear fruit worthy of repentance, and do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now, the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but the one is coming after me is more powerful than I, and I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." This is the gospel of grace. Thanks be to God.
Well, it's Advent 2, Peace Sunday. And once again, we must deal with Jesus' cousin, John the Baptist, whom exactly none of us think of first when we are told to think of peace. He's gruff. He's grizzled. He frankly sounds a little grumpy. His beard is matted in honey. His breath smells like locusts. And his sermons, with their images of fire and pitchforks and axes, are anything but, well, pacific. John the Baptist is no saccharine, sweet, shopping mall approved, totally inoffensive, schmaltzy, maltzy Christmas carol. John the Baptist is a man on a mission. He's been sent to get us ready. And like a physician with absolutely no bedside manner, he shows up with a severe diagnosis and prescription of our condition. The axe is lying at the root of the tree, John says. And every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. Every tree, we ask? Every one, he answers. It is a hard judgment, beloved, but it's a fatal and contagious disease, and something must be done. I think I once met John the Baptist, or someone a lot like him, back in Lubbock, when one day a guy stopped by the church looking for some handiwork. He said his mother had just died and he was trying to get back to Roswell to bury her. He had tools, and he said he could trim trees. "Can you cut down trees?" I asked him, "because I have a dead one out at my house that needs to be taken down." He said yes, he could do that, and we worked out a price, and I gave him my address, 7903 Wayne Avenue. "There's a dead tree out in the front yard," I told him. "Take it down and take a picture with your phone and bring back the picture, and I will pay you." He was gone for about 2 hours. When he came back, he had his phone in his hands, and he showed me the picture. The tree was dead and downed, and he'd done a good job sawing at the stump. The only problem was, well, it wasn't my house. I was mortified. My first thought was, is my address 7903 Wayne Avenue? And my second thought was, this better make for some sermon. Now, I'm sure you're wondering what happened next. Well, I will just say three things. First, I encourage everyone here to update their homeowner's insurance policy on Monday morning. Number two, never, ever try to help someone who says they're trying to get back to Roswell. Think about it. And number three, every barren tree in the neighborhood was now nervous because they had all been put on notice. Either make the tree good and its fruit good and call it good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad and call it bad. For the tree is judged by its fruit. And surely right now the axe is at the root. Bear fruit then worthy of repentance. When I think of John the Baptist, what I really think of is a truth teller. Someone who was a straight shooter and would say things plain and call it like it is. John was never party to any pretense or hypocrisy or game of charades. He couldn't stand it. He couldn't stand it when people talked like angels but acted like the devil. John believed in calling a ball, and a strike, and a spade, and he didn't go along with any games or any politics or any play acting. "You don't tell me what you are," John would say. "You show me who you are. And when you show me who you are, then I will tell you exactly what I see." John told the people who went out to see him in the wilderness, "Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For John said, God doesn't care anything about pedigree or pretense. Do not tell me," he might say to us now, "that you were founded as a Christian nation. For talking about God in a document 250 years ago is not the same as listening to and following God today." John was a truth teller, and he was a prophet, and he was a doctor, and he was a refiner. He was the one whom God sent into the world to tell the truth to the people and to get us ready for the coming of the Messiah. We will never find an answer, I have learned, unless and until we first admit that we have a problem. John the Baptist was the one who was brave enough to mark the wood and tell us we were dying and would soon be dead if we didn't do something drastic, if we didn't lop off something that was soon going to take our lives. John always comes before Jesus in the Bible. Though I find it noteworthy that he never seems to come on a Hallmark card before Christmas. I think we know why. It would be bad for business. But isn't it peculiar and even profound how in the church, we always invite him to come and to talk to us this time of year on Peace Sunday of all days? Earlier this week, I read something written by Rachel Green Taylor that I think helps make John coming to us on Peace Sunday make a whole lot of sense. She talks about the difference between a peacekeeper and a peacemaker. And she says this: a peacekeeper avoids conflict, keeps the surface calm, stays silent to keep others happy, calls dysfunction grace. But a peacemaker, on the other hand, steps into truth, confronts what harms, builds what's healthy, brings God's kind of peace, the kind that heals and does not hide. Martin Luther King Jr. used to say that true peace is not merely the absence of tension, but it is the presence of justice. And John the Baptist did not come to avoid tension. He did not come to keep silent. He did not pacify or play games or enable dysfunction or go along to get along. Certainly not with evil. John the Baptist spoke up. He spoke truth and hard truth. And he called for the uprooting of sins and systems of harm. He dug up what was hidden that the people might finally be ready to let God heal what was revealed. This was the messenger to Israel. And he's our messenger too. John was a truth teller. He was a prophet. And more than a prophet. He was also, in his own way, a peacemaker with an axe to grind. And Jesus said, "No one born of women was greater than he." In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, Mother of us all, and together all of God's people do say,